Amen. Exodus chapter 20. We finished the Ten Commandments. They're not the Ten Suggestions. They're the Ten Commandments. Please do not head off into legalism. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't roller skate in a buffalo herd, you can't do nothing. That's not holy. That's what we call being spiritually handicapped. You won't love people because you'll say, I can't be around those kind. You won't reach out to people because you'll say, I'm not allowed to be around that kind of language. You will not minister and serve that one because you'll say, those kind of people God doesn't love. If you go off and get legal, you will hurt you. And there will be people who will not come to Jesus. Don't be a stumbling block. Be a magnet. Glow in the dark so that people can be okay. You have to love people. You have to love them. You're going to meet and deal with some rare birds. I know you are. Do you love them enough already to simply serve them? Some of them won't be the right color, whatever that is. I took my dad to the bus station one time in San Bernardino, California. I didn't know white people don't do that. I didn't know. And we were trying to get a bus ticket. I go to the window. It was bulletproof glass. There's people all over, and those people are all staring. And my dad and I come in, and I say, I'll get your ticket. Have a seat. He told me he could do it. He'd been around a lot longer than me, but I said, it's cool. So he sits down, and I go to the window, and I say, I'd like to pick up the ticket from my dad, or check it and kind of make some changes. And the lady just gets really nervous. And she says, sir. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, oh my gosh, you're the wrong color. You shouldn't be here. I said, really? I've always been this color. I never knew. Isn't that sad? I said, what? Greyhound? What? You've got to be pink? And so we sit down, and she was nervous for us, and we sit down, and some man comes up and wants to borrow $5. I laugh. Give me a break. Who's got $5 in here? And some other guy came up, and pretty soon we were in trouble. We were the wrong color. See, you had to be sky blue pink to ride the bus in San Bernardino, California. I thought, wrong color. What on the earth is going on in the world? You see, in Jesus Christ, you've got to love everybody. No matter, even if they're slim and trim, even if they eat only vegetables, you have to love them. Even if they eat fish. That's what God wants us to do. And God gave us these Ten Commandments not so that we would go off and live on some mountaintop and never break a rule. He wants us to keep those commandments, but He wants us to love right here where we live. Here's how you do it. I am the Lord your God. Commandment number one. And then He goes through the commandments with us. And He says, you do these. Because you are mine. You belong to me. I bought you with a price. I love you. You do these. Well, if I don't, will you send me to hell? No. Salvation is by grace. We're going to begin on Sunday mornings a study of the book of Ephesians. That will become clear. What bothers some Christians is that others could live a life of total depravity and still walk into the gates of heaven. Jesus said that. And we, sometimes, us, we don't like that. I've been miserable for 20 years. You're going to save her? Yeah. I remember a lady, a pastor's wife, who was so upset that a mass murderer on death row accepted the Lord. She almost walked away from God. That's it. That guy doesn't deserve to go to heaven that way. Wait a minute, woman. Can you name three people who deserve to go? Of course, she was thinking she did. But you know, think about that. Who deserves eternal life? Who deserves it? How many of you in here have been that good? Let me see your hands. Yet there's a woman married to a pastor who is angry and thinking about walking away from God because God would save a sinner like that. Do you love people enough? The Ten Commandments, we obey our God because we love Him. I told a story a while back about a teacher I had, Mr. E. You know, I loved that guy. I couldn't imagine doing things he didn't want me to do. That would embarrass him. That's something he wouldn't have me do, and I didn't want to do. But I did it, and so did the friends that I knew, the people that I hung around with, because we loved the guy. You know, Mr. E doesn't want us to do that. Oh, well, let's forget it. Let's don't do it then. Why do you obey God? And another thing, before we get into this tonight, do you have like a program you follow? Because many ministries set it up. Well, you got to do A, B, C, and then you'll have D. Well, if some of you guys just blow it and go straight from A to D, they'll tell you it didn't work. Remember the men that were healed? One man was healed. He was blind, and God touched him. Just touched him. And another guy, he was blind, and God spit on the ground, made mud, rubbed it in his eyes, and said, go wash it out. Remember those two coming to the temple to thank God? One of them comes up, remember this story? Hey, I was healed. Really? What happened? Jesus touched me, and I can see. The other guy goes, whoa, Jesus touched me, and I can see. How did he do it to you? Well, he just touched me and said, you can see, and I can see. How did he do it to you? Well, he spit on the ground, made mud, and put it in my eyes, and rubbed it in, and said, wash it out. I went and washed it out, and I could see. Had to wash twice. The first guy says, oh man, you know what? You can't really see. I can't? No, you can't really see because you don't need mud. Oh, yes, you do. Matter of fact, you can't see. I can't? No, because he didn't put mud in your eyes and wash it out twice. And so they left. Instead of going to thank God, they left and formed the Touchites and the Mudites. And most of you, that's where you've been going to church, isn't it? You want to get saved? Yeah, well, spit on the ground. Pastor will spit. You put that in your eyes and go take a shower. Well, we didn't do it that way. Then you're not saved. That's why Jesus refused to do everything the same way twice. Because then you and I would make a denomination out of it and ask for money for it. And call it Christianity. Follow God because you love Him. Not because you're supposed to, not because you have to, because you want to. He saved my life. How much of your life did you throw away before He got you? How much of it? How much did you just live for you? I lived a whole lot for me. I lived a whole lot for me. Now He's got me. Why would I want to continue to live for me? It was a mess. Was yours? You haven't done half the stuff I have. You need to thank God you're sitting down. Was yours so great? He saved me. He bought me. And He's given me eternal life. I want to follow Him. And so, the Ten Commandments. Remember, as we look at verse 18, remember that God is speaking out loud. Oh, I wish I'd have been there. It would have scared me to death. I just know it. And all the people, verse 18 of chapter 20, saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. It was so frightening to hear God speak that they just backed up and they continued to back away. It was that frightening. Hey, has God become so real in your life? Have you experienced yet God in such a real way that it scared you any? As a young man, I was not a Christian, and I went to a retreat. And they were talking about Jesus. That's fine, that's what you're supposed to do at a retreat, that's cool. But I was laying there one night, after they were telling us Jesus loves you and all those things Christians have to say, or they can't go to heaven if they didn't say that. They all repeat the same things. John 3:16. Let's all say it together. They don't, you know, that's how I felt. Oh, this is a big joke. And I was laying there in bed, and I don't know what time it was because of those retreats. They took your watches away. God forbid. I didn't know what time it was. And they blocked the windows off. They blocked the windows. You couldn't tell if it was nighttime or daytime. I didn't know if I was supposed to be hungry. I didn't know if I was supposed to be tired. Now, you parents wouldn't let me go to something like that. Right? And so we're in bed because they say it's time to go to bed. And I'm laying there. And this is the truth. All of a sudden, it hit me. I think this Jesus cat is real. Something inside me, all of a sudden, and it's late, and I should be sleeping, but I don't know. I'm not tired, but they said go to bed. It must be tired time. But I'm laying there, and it hit me. Reality struck, and I thought, it's real. It scared me so bad, I got out of bed and turned the light on. This is true. 16 years old, scared. What are you doing? I'm scared. What up? Well, God's real. You guys been paying attention? And they're going, oh, Lord, drugs will do that. Drugs will do that. No, I was scared to death. All of a sudden, something told me, this is real. I didn't accept Jesus. But I was scared. That's the way some of you are now. The people were so scared, God was talking out loud, that they backed up. They just continued to back away, get away from it. It's loud. It's noisy. It is God Almighty talking out loud to us. Doesn't that freak you out? So, and they said to Moses, speak thou with us, and we will listen or hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. This is so loud, I can't deal with it. I got to get away from it. Don't let him talk to me anymore. Moses, you be the mediator. Let God talk to you, and then you tell us what he said. We cannot deal with this. It's scaring us too badly. Daniel fell over as dead in the presence of God. He fell down as he was dead. Not slain in the spirit. This guy falls over in the presence of God. John on the Isle of Patmos, in the presence of Jesus Christ, he falls down and he has no strength. Not slain in the spirit. Falls down in the very presence of God. Not some guy talking about God, shove it on your head. Difference. Overwhelmed by the presence of God. And the people were overwhelmed and they're saying, we cannot handle it. We can emotionally or physically or mentally or spiritually. We cannot deal with this. It's too difficult. You be the mediator. Let God talk to you and then you tell us what He said. Because we can't hear this again or it'll kill us. That's how frightening it was. And in Deuteronomy, Moses tells us what the reply from God was. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 17 through 20. I'll read it to you. Deuteronomy 18, verses 17 through 20. Remember, they said in Exodus 20, 19, they said to Moses, you speak with us, you be the mediator, you speak with us, and we will listen. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. We can't deal with it. It's just too powerful, too overpowering, too overwhelming for us. We'll die. You speak, let God speak to you, you speak to us. That's what a mediator does. And so God answers. Moses tells us in Deuteronomy 18 what God answered. Moses said in 18 verse 17, Deuteronomy 18 verse 17, Moses said, and the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. It's good that they said that to you, Moses, he said. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren of the Jews, like unto you, Moses, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. I will raise up a mediator, someone who I will speak to, and he will in turn tell the people everything I want them to know. All the words. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not listen unto my words, which that mediator will speak in my name, I will require it of him. When the mediator speaks, if you will not listen, God will require that of you at some time, or of me. And then he goes on to say, now the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, that would be a false prophet, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Only one. I'm going to raise up a mediator. I'll speak to him. He will tell you everything I want you to know. If you will listen to him, great, you will be blessed. But if not, you will answer for that. Who is the mediator that God rose up to speak to God's people and to anyone who would hear God? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Who does God speak to, and who speaks to God? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. God, after he gave the Ten Commandments, the people said, we cannot deal with hearing God. It is overwhelming. And God said, good. Because I will have mercy, and I will raise up a prophet like unto Moses, and I will speak directly to him, and he will tell you what I want you to know. And when Jesus came, what did he tell us? Jesus said, I am the only way to my Father, to the Father in heaven. All roads don't lead to God. The road is narrow. I am the only way. I am the door. I came to give you life. Not only have I come to give you life, but I have come to give you life to the full, or abundant life. Not just, oh, okay, things are going to be okay someday, but here and now, I am here. I have come to give you life. Follow me. Learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Listen to me. Trust me. Have faith. Cry out to God, your Father, through me, in my name. What's the answer to all that you have? Jesus. What about legalism? God knows how you're built. He knows how we freely received, but we always want to charge somebody else. He knows that. It is natural. It is human nature. So I can freely receive, but I'm going to make my kids toe the line. Right? Right. So my kids will grow up thinking salvation isn't free. We're going to get our heads kicked off. God doesn't love us. Man, God is mad. You blow it, God will let you know it. So they're scared to death of him. As a matter of fact, they're not sure they want to be around him. And the harder you get legal-wise, isn't it funny, parents, how the more they seem to not want to have anything to do with it. Isn't that funny? Not funny, ha-ha. Isn't it? And the more legal you get, the more they run away. Wonder if there is something to that. I think so. But if all of a sudden you look at them and say, I want to follow God because I love Him. I've done a lousy job. I've been the worst in the earth. But from today, I just love Him. I want to serve Him. Why do you want to be good? Because I love Him. That's all. Will He not like you anymore If you sin, oh, He'll still love me. Will you go to heaven? Yes, I still will. Then why be good? Because He loves me. Because He bought me. Because He paid for me. Because He sent a mediator to tell me, here's the way to go. Here is the way to do it. Parents, do you want your children to come back to God? Then you come to Him first. Freely, saying, I freely have received, freely I give. We have a tendency in the Christian world to clean the fish before we catch them. Try that sometime. That's a tough one. Whoa, go to the fish, clean that dude. Can't eat that way. And so we're worried about what they wear. I'd love to have you come to church, but you can't wear those shoes. We would love to have you visit our church, but women have to stand on their heads the whole time, so can't wear dresses. Oh, we'd love to have you come to our church, but I forget women must wear dresses, and they have to be $500 and above. We'd love to have you come to our church, but your hair's too long. We'd love to have you come to our church, but could you take the pin out from your head? You know, the one, you know, you get your head pierced, could you take that out? We would love to have you come to our church, but, you know, that thing, you have your tongue pierced and it's hooked to your ear there, and that little chain, that just throws people off. So if you come to our church, could you please, like, put the chain in your pocket or something? What are we doing? That's what we're doing. Let's raise them all to not love God. I was talking to the guys Monday night, and so I told them, I said, we'd love to have you come to church, but your hair looks like you went through a bomb. It's all sticking straight in the air, pointed. Could you fix that? Instead of saying, man, we love you. God loves you. Just the way you are. What happened to your hair? That's the way I wear it. God bless you, then. Come on to church. Sit in the back. not because of anything except nobody can see through it. If you could, like, part it in the middle, sit in the front. People look right through there. Cool. Especially that pink part down the middle. That's nice. No. We have to give them the false impression that you are not good enough. Of course you're good enough. He loves you. He loves you. You're good enough. He loves you not because you're good enough. He loves you because you're you. Let Him love you. Now, if God wants your hair not to be pink, then wait on Him and listen. And if He mentions your hair color, discuss it with Him. Not us. We got to clean those fish first. And why do you think churches don't have a lot of people coming? They're turned off. How did they get turned off? Did God turn them off? I seriously doubt it. They don't know Him. They've never spoken with Him. One of God's kids ran them off. Get out. We love you, but get away. Isn't that true? What are we doing? Do you love people? Do you want people to have eternal life? Do you want them to be okay? Now, I do not believe, like, I come to God and you think I'm a mess? I was a mess before. I am so, so much better. If you could, well, I'm glad you can't. See, I don't think for one moment God wants me to stay this way. I mean, when God caught me in His net and brought me into His kingdom, He didn't say, well, hey, that long hair is cool, Bob, keep that. Well, He fixed me. It all fell out. I'm telling you right now, you leave after the service if you like. I'd have long hair, except it won't go that way. Not because it's cool, just because why cut it? Why spend money on something silly like that? God took care of that for me. It falls out. You know, it's not going to turn gray. It's going to be gone before then. Fine. God can do anything. Do you think God really is worried too much about how the length of my hair? You know, He's really so busy working on my heart that He's going to take care of the hair when I get to heaven. Can you love somebody that much? To tell them we love you. Now, God loves you just the way you are. That doesn't mean He doesn't want you to change. That means He loves you. Come to Jesus. And if He wants you to change in any area, let Him be the one to take it up with you. Boy, we're so confused over that. And we have a mediator now. And the people stood afar off from God. And they said to Moses, "We can't deal with this, Moses. We can't do it." And the people stood afar off in verse 20. Oh, I'm sorry, in verse 20. Moses said to the people, "Don't be afraid. God has come to test you, to prove you, and that His fear, may be before your faces, that you sin not." God talked out loud and did these things on the mountain so that you would begin to reverence and say, "He is powerful. Whoa, I've never heard anything like that. Our God is an awesome God. Wow. I can't deal with this. Moses, talk to him and tell me what he said. I cannot personally deal with this." Moses says, "Don't be afraid. God is testing you." That His fear may be before your faces so that you won't sin. Should we, just because we're free in Jesus Christ, should we sin? You'll read the book of Romans, "God forbid," or in our language, "Perish the thought." No. No, we don't sin because we can get away with it. Are you learning that? Are your children? Are we communicating? We don't sin because we love Him. As soon as that becomes a reality in your heart and in the heart of your children, they love God. They begin to walk. They get excited about going to church. They get excited about doing things for the kingdom of God. And Moses says, "You're being tested. It's to prove. It's to be sure that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, that you're willing now to just say, 'I'll follow the rest of my life.'" And the Lord said this in verse 22. No, wait, do verse 21. "And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was." Moses goes in toward the thick darkness where God is, and the people hold back. They're afraid. "And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, You have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You, Israel, you heard my voice. You are living witnesses,'" he says. "You have seen that God Almighty, I, God, have spoken to you from heaven. And because of that, you shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall you make unto you gods of gold." Don't put gods of silver alongside of me. Don't try to figure out what I look like. You don't need that. You have heard me speak. You know that I am awesome in power. So don't make these little silver things, these little trinkets. Do not do it. Just remember what you heard. "You shall not make with me." That means to compare to me or set alongside me. And then he goes on to say this, "An altar of earth you shall make unto me." You want to worship me, he says? You want to come to me to offer? Then make an altar out of dirt. Now remember that. Dirt. Earth. "You shall sacrifice thereon your burnt offerings, your peace offerings, your sheep, and your oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto you and I will bless you." "And if thou will make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of cut stone or cut rock. For if you lift up the tool upon it, you have polluted it." Well, let's just stop and see. He says, "I am the Lord your God." And as he speaks, people back away and say, "We can't deal with it. He is too powerful. Moses, be a mediator between us. He'll talk to you. You talk to us." God says, "Good that they've said that, because I will raise up a mediator and he will tell them all." And that mediator between God and men is the man Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He is the Messiah. the anointed one, the one that everyone should be looking to. You look to no pastor, you look to no pastor's wife, you look to no ministry, you look to nobody but Jesus. That's where you look. That's what you need. You're complete in Him. And God says, and now that you know that, I don't want you making things to set alongside me, your God. I don't need you to make things out of silver and gold. I just want you to walk with me. And when you want to worship, then you build an altar out of dirt. Or I'll give you another option. You can make it out of rock, out of stone. There are two options. Either make it of the earth or make it from rocks from the earth. Set up a plain altar. Plain. Why? He's teaching something to us about Himself and about us. We're learning, even when you read verses and you go, that's great, that's very nice, make an altar out of dirt, make an altar out of rock. Let's move on. Hold it. You'll learn something. We will learn something about ourselves. And about Him. We just stop and pay attention to what He's saying. Don't make with me gods of silver. Neither shall you make unto you gods of gold. I'm your God. You've heard me speak from heaven. You know I'm here. How many of you can honestly say, I haven't heard Him speak, but I have seen Him move. You've seen God move. Have you ever seen Him move? Man, I have seen God move. Where I can't, I'm a part of the Christian mafia. I know too much to get out. I cannot get out. I have seen God move. I have seen miracles. I have seen Him do things I never thought I'd see Him do. I have seen Him do things through people I never thought He could have used. I have seen Him do things through me. And that is the bottom line right there. If He can do something through me and I know what I'm like, He can do anything with anybody. If He loves me, you are so far up above me, you can be guaranteed He loves you. He loves you. If you would just rest in that and quit trying to be so something, can you understand how much He cares about you? He answers your prayers. He answers them exactly according to His will. You say, Lord, can I do this? Can I do this? And He knows you can't do it. You don't understand. You're too young. You're too little. You'll hurt yourself with this. You cannot handle it. I love you, but you need to wait. You mean I can never have that? I didn't say that, Bob. You are just too young. When you grow, we'll talk about it. Want me to do this for you? No, I have someone else. You ever have a children help you with anything? Most good parents who are wise and have figured it out always send them on impossible errands, right? The little one comes up and you're working on the car and he wants to, can I help? Yes, you can. Matter of fact, would you go get me a shelf stretcher? And if you can't find it, ask your mother. It'll take you guys days. Right? Helping you by being over there. But sometimes they figure out what a shelf stretcher is. They come back and they want to help. They're right there. Every time I jump in and say, Lord, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to do a ministry here. Oh my gosh, I'll help. And God stops and goes, okay, but it's going to take three times as long. He didn't tell me that. He just shakes his head. Oh, Bob's going to help. This is going to slow it up. Well, I love him. You got to be patient with him. He's trying to learn. So, you know, God sends me, you're teaching your children, right? And so you want them to help, and you say to them, okay, you want to help? You know what? I need a screwdriver. And so that kid runs off, little bitty thing, comes back with a hammer. I have a question for you, all of you tough parents. I sent him for a screwdriver. He brought me a hammer. Did he obey me or not? Yes, he did. Sure did. But he doesn't understand the difference between screwdriver and hammer. So I say, oh, well, hold it. Let's go to the toolbox. Here. Now look, this is a screwdriver. This is what we call a hammer. Little bitty kid, right? Oh, have you got it? Now which one's the screwdriver? Which one's a hammer? Genius. So he's still trying to help. You know what? Now I need a Phillips screwdriver. So he runs off and he brings back that flathead screwdriver you told him was a screwdriver to begin with, and he hands it to you. You know what? This isn't correct. Did he obey you or not? Of course he obeyed you. But he doesn't. Now you're getting technical. Oh, not everything is just a screwdriver. Now they have special names. Flathead, what'd you call me? No, it's the screwdriver. So now you've got to take them back and you're beginning to teach them the difference between a Phillips head, and all of a sudden this really gets complicated. Doesn't God do that with you? Bob, I just need you to run over there and pick up one of these. And I come back and I go, here it is. And God says, no. No, that's not even close. Come on. And he shows me what it is. Then the next time he wants it, I go, get it, and bring it back. He goes, no, now, see, there's a difference in... And he's slowly teaching me. See, are you obedient to him? Yes, but many times you haven't got a clue what you're doing. And so he says this about us. He says, all right, here's what I want you to do. Now that you know I am almighty, now that you know I am real, now that in your life you've experienced God, you've come to Jesus Christ, you've been saved, you're starting to walk with him, you slowly see things happening, maybe very slowly, but they're happening, and all of a sudden, God says, here's how I want you to worship me. Build an altar out of dirt. Or build it out of rock. But if you're going to use rock, do not carve your initials or break the rocks off to make them fit. Don't do that. Because if you do anything to that rock, it will be what? I'll read it to you. Polluted. If you do anything to the rock, everybody listen, the rock is useless. It's polluted. I don't want it in my altar. What did he just teach me about him and about me? Well, let me read it to you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 through 29. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. Do you understand what he's telling me? When he says, when you build an altar, Bob, if you're going to worship, don't work on those rocks yourself, you've polluted it. He's telling me, anything I do with my own hands, I'm going to take credit for. Yeah, I built that altar and I carved that. Boy, that's a beauty. That thing fits right in there. Look at that. It was a nice altar to God. No. No flesh should glory in His presence. I am God. I am Almighty. You just heard me speak. Build something plain. And it will take nothing from you. Are you grasping it? Is your Christianity a legal thing? Do you really believe it's taking something from you to get this thing accomplished? Do I really believe that it's my obedience that's really paying off and I'm really walking with Him and look, He's blessing me because I've really been right on all week? How many of you really think that? Listen to this statement. Lord, it's been a good week for me. I know why You're blessing me. I mean, I thank You for blessing me. And you know, I've really been walking pretty good. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you really believe you have really had a good week and all of a sudden you see a blessing and you think it's because you've been so good the last 3 days? You're wrong. He would have blessed you anyway. You just happen to be, by the power of God, okay for a few days. It won't last. God bless you. And if you did do good, or your kids did good, you say, the reason that the Lord's blessing you is you've been so good. No, it's not. The reason the Lord's blessing you, my son, my daughter, He loves you. Don't ask us why. He loves you. And He's chosen to bless you. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. And He will bless you, and it won't be based on how good or bad you did this week. It's not Santa Claus. That's all we know. That's all we know. So you better be good for goodness sake or you won't get nothing. And that's all we know, and that's not scriptural. You should be good. You should be holy. You should be loving because God is good and holy and loving. All of us should want to be just like Jesus and serve Him. See, no flesh should glory in His presence. Look at Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. According to His mercy, He saved me. It wasn't one day it clicked in my head and it all made sense and I said, okay, I want Jesus. He came to look for me because I was lost. It wasn't that I finally figured it out or got it together or straightened up. He just came and He got me and He said, I better get this one. This one's lost. This little guy, I'll carry him back. I'm doing great, ain't I, God? Yeah, I'm going to just carry you right back here. Want me to help? No, you just quit kicking. We'll get you there. And I can tell you the truth. He saved me from so much pain. Is there pain still there? All the time. Because you never forget. See, God can forget, but Satan won't let me. And each time I think it's going great, Satan just brings up something. And I think, oh, I belong to God. Leave me alone. I don't deny. I just say, I just work here. You need to discuss it with the man, Jesus Christ. And Satan usually doesn't want to do that. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. You don't carve on that stone when you make an altar because it's polluted at that point because you'll take credit for it. I carved that altar. Look how good I've been. Look at this. Look at that. I got a pin that says I never missed church in 72 years. Look at me. That's probably why I'm going to heaven, because I can play guitar and sing in the praise band. That's why. No. It's because Jesus shed His blood and He died for me. I'm saved. Now look at this. Make me an altar of stone. You shall not build it of hewn stone, cut stone. For if you lift up your hand upon it, it'll be polluted. And I'm going to record my name in the places that I do record my name. That's cause you to remember my name. When I cause you to remember my name and you see me do something, which happens to you on a daily basis, man, look what God did. You start to praise Him. He says, great. Now when you build an altar, don't think you're going to do anything good here. Praise God for what He has done. It's God and God only. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the answer. That's going to take care of everything. So He says this, don't build steps up to my altar that your nakedness be not discovered thereon. Don't make steps up to that altar. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'll read that to you slowly now, and point out the five steps God took. He won't let me take any. There are no steps for you to get up into a position to worship God. You will not have steps because if you do, your nakedness is going to show. The priest wore skirts, and what happens if you get high above the people? Right. That's exactly what God is saying. That's the exact language. Your nakedness is going to show. People are going to be embarrassed, but so are you. Don't attempt to come up, to take any steps to come up to worship me. Here are the five steps Jesus took. Number one, He made Himself of no reputation. God. Number two, He took upon Himself the form of a servant. No reputation. And even further, taking the lowest position, a servant. Number three, He was made in the likeness of men. Human. He became fully human. Number four, being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself at that point, saying, I will walk in humility as a human. I won't. He gave up some of the things from the throne. See, on the throne, He's sitting there, but He can be everywhere. As He took on His human body, He's just in one place at a time, although God is still everywhere. Number five, He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God took those five steps for me, so that I could enter into His presence, have salvation, eternal life forever. He took those five steps and He looks at me and says, Bob, there is nothing you can do. If you take steps to come to worship me, if you think your works, your good deeds, your money, your brains, your talent, if you think you're going to take those steps to come worship me, people are going to see your nakedness. You will be embarrassed. There are no steps for you to climb to God. God comes down to you. Your very efforts, listen to this, your very efforts to climb up to God serve only to expose your own shame. Adam and Eve used fig leaves to cover themselves, and God comes walking through the garden in the cool of the day when the shadows are long, in the evening, the Bible says, and He says, Adam, where are you? Now, you know, most people think, oh Lord, angels are going to laugh, I lost Adam. Where is he? Where is he? Is he under that rock? That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches He knew where Adam, I see you behind the tree over there, I see you're hiding. But Adam, do you understand where you are in your heart? Where are you? And Adam says this, I heard you, I'm hiding. I heard you walking, I heard your voice, and so I hid myself. Why are you hiding? Because I was naked. I realized I was a sinner. Who told you you were naked? Have you done what I commanded you not to do? My wife. The woman you gave me, she made me. It still works. Doesn't it, guys? Girls. Woman, what have you done? The snake tricked me. Snake, the dog. Dog, the cat. Cat, little gerbil thing. Everybody pass it on. Nobody says, I'm sorry. Everybody just shove it on down to the next. Somebody, sooner or later, is going to go, I confess to you, I'm guilty. What would have happened had Adam said, yes, sir, I have eaten, and I confess it to you, and I bow down at your mercy? Wonder what would have happened. Well, we'll never know. Hey, Jesus died. Jesus, listen, and we'll close with this, and then we'll praise God some. Jesus said, the cross. I will go to the cross. The Son of Man will be crucified. I will die for the sins of the world. Natural altar. Peter said, not so, Lord, spare yourself. We won't let this happen to you. Man's way of cutting or carving the stones. Right? Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. There's no way man can come to me. I have to come to man. And the way is through the cross. If you teach your children, if you believe in your heart, you are working your way to heaven. You do away with the suffering of the cross. You say that the cross was not enough. You walk on the blood of Jesus. Salvation is free. And it doesn't. I'm not interested in how many other ministries teach something different. It doesn't matter to me. The Bible says. And as long as the Bible says, we stand with it, even if the rest of the world argues with us. Who cares? We might as well fight something. We've got to do something. I say stand up for the truth. And you'll always notice when you're right directly over the target, that's when you take the most flack. What that old saying Craig and I were kind of mentioning, when you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one that got hit. Right? Salvation is free. Jesus loves you, and He paid for you. So don't teach nor try to take yourself in by works. Rest in the grace of God. Let Him love you. Obey Him because He loves you. Remember when you loved somebody when you were young? You couldn't wait to see them. You'd buy them things that were really stupid things, and they loved it. You didn't have the money, and you spent it anyway. Why? I just want to give this to her. I just want them to have it. Remember loving somebody? That's how Jesus loves you. He brings you things, and you didn't deserve it. Oh, for me? Oh my gosh, I couldn't. Oh yeah, I want you to have this. And you begin to love Jesus. You start to bring Him things. Oh, they may be done things to the rest of the world, but He's thrilled. It's a blessing. Go, Lord, I just wanted you to have this flower. I have a few extra minutes. I know that I'm not going to be late for work, but I just had a few extra minutes. Wanted to talk. I just want to be with you. I don't have anything special to say, but I just wanted to be with you. Remember when you loved the Lord your God with your whole heart and it was a thrill? Jesus says in the book of Revelation, I got one thing against you. You've left your first love. Come home. Come back. Come back to where you're free to walk with Him. Not scared of Him anymore. He loves you. Come back to where you're not afraid to tell Him how you feel. He loves you. Come back to where you're not embarrassed to give Him that little thing you have. Everybody else has the big stuff and you can't afford it, and you give Him that little, whatever you have. Come back to the Lord your God and walk with Him and love Him and let Him love you and let Him love others through you. Let's bow our heads together as we close.